And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are now officially into our second hour of the program today, where we're talking about being single and content, especially during the holidays. So we definitely want to know if that is you. Are you single and content? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. But we love to pay attention to our second favorite book, and that is Facebook. So we want to hear what people are saying there. If you have not liked us yet, make sure you like us, and then you can post your comments to today's topic. Just go to facebook.com and like Marriage Beyond the Vows. Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
Okay, well, people have a lot to say, obviously, this topic of those lonely nights or being single and content. Again, I just want to mention this. If you're married and maybe you're unhappy and you feel like you made the wrong decision, or you were single for a long time and you felt like, man, when is it going to happen? When is God going to answer my prayer about the right person? And you felt like you did wait on God, and now you have the right person. Whatever your situation, if you believe is going to help others, or if you need help yourself, please give us a call. We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And many of you are posting on Facebook. You can do that as well. One of the things that I've wrote there, I said, are you happy being alone? And Maya Evans says, no, I'm not happy, but I'm content until God says otherwise. And good for you, Maya. Also, I had mentioned earlier on, Will Harris called in, and he talked about not making the wrong decision, that this is too important. And so he didn't just want to marry anybody, but he's like, all right, he's 37. He wants to wait. And so I posted that. I was like, listen, as Will Harris shares about not making the wrong decision. And Rufus says, very smart. I can agree with him. Crescenda Jones. Actually, we know Crescenda. She's been on the on our show before. I had asked her to call. She might be calling in a little bit. But she shares about this book, Lies at the Altar, The Truth About Great Marriages. And it's a book that you can purchase on Amazon by Dr. Robin Smith. And you can go ahead and find that information that Crescenda wanted to share with us. You know, if you ever have resources like that that really pertain to our topic, I don't really allow people to share whatever, like, oh, come here and read this book. It's about something else. Buy my product. None of that stuff. We'll delete that. But if it pertains to what we're talking about and if it's going to help you, then great. All right. And then I just want to share a few more things here really quickly that people have shared. You know, how do you remain content during the holiday season? And so this is what a few of you had to say. Prayer. Challenging not to focus on single status during the holiday, especially when family's first question is, who are you dating? Thanks for the topic and the input. Also, Maya Morrow just wanted to know where to listen. And I think she posted some other stuff here as well. We had Kenny Heath says, very single. I've been single for 4 years, just growing strong with myself and have a close relationship with my Lord. Key to be happy alone. The key is to be happy alone, and your potential mate should add to your happiness. Don't get consumed with work or other activities, not to have time for self and God. Single, content, and waiting. It is important not to stay at a dormant stage where you're not still hopeful and expecting what God has for you. And that was great, Kenny Heath. And then last but not least, I want to share this other one here. This was Maya. It says, this has come up again recently for me, and there is really nothing one can do to resolve it other than pray, read the scriptures for guidance, and wrestle with God. And that's what Maya Morrow shares. So, all right, once again, we want to encourage you to give us a call.
Absolutely. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. So on line 4, we have Shantae calling in. Shantae, good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing very well. Thank you so much for holding and being patient there. I heard you have a question about the topic, today's topic. What is your question for us?
Well, it's not really a question. It's actually a comment. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk about being single and being content. And there's two things that work for me. One is, I've learned how to really just take a moment and get to know myself and get to know what I like and what I don't like, and, you know, what I want to experience, and then not put that on hold just to experience it with someone. Like I heard you talking about going out to eat and, you know, not necessarily wanting to sit in a restaurant alone, but sometimes I want to go to a restaurant, and if I don't have a couple or a friend, why would I deprive myself of going there? So I would just go. And remembering that I'm not alone, that I'm spending time with the Lord in that moment.
Now, let me
and
ask you a question.
Enjoy my food.
No, that's good, Shanti. I'm going to mention something. There's a really good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, we knew each other for many years. We were great friends. And we even tried to, like, date each other and see if it would work out. But we felt like we weren't compatible. And I'll give you the reason. I'm in the full-time ministry. I'm a preacher. And I always had this desire to be in the ministry. She's a doctor. And she always had this desire to practice medicine. We just felt like what we wanted to do wasn't really lining up in life. And so we were so friends for such a long time. Like, if I wanted to go to a restaurant, I would give her a call. Hey, look, nothing, no strings attached. We're already beyond that stage. We knew that we weren't kind of interested in each other, but we would go out. Or if I wanted to go shopping and I didn't want a loan and I wanted someone's opinion, mm-hmm. I would call her. And what ended up happening is one of my closest friends, I hooked them up. They ended up getting married. And one of my best friends, I said, listen, there's this great, great sister in the church. I mean, you would love her. They seem so much alike and they're happily married. They thank me all the time for hooking them up. And so to my question for you, Shanti, would be, why not go out even if it's not a romantic dinner or a romantic date, just having male friends that are healthy relationships, mm-hmm. that maybe that person can say, hey, you're not the one for me, but guess what? My roommate, my buddy that is really looking for a spiritual woman, you guys would be perfect for each other. And I wasn't even trying to play matchmaker. It just made sense because I knew them both. And I said, listen, you guys really ought to date. And from the first date, they were so compatible. They ended up getting married. Not after the first date, but, they were compatible. So what about that, Shanti? Is it possible to have great male friends that you have pure relationships with and you can go out?
I'm thinking that it is possible. I'm just telling you what my experience was. I don't object to either way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, for me, I'm a big movie buff.
Okay.
And I love going to the movies all the time. Girlfriends aren't available. And I don't have those male friends with no strings attached that just call me up to go to a movie. So I'm not going to sit and wait for it to come out on video. I go get in my car and go to the movie. So, and it just allowed me to get to know myself. And then another thing that helps me with the vulnerability of being single, when you're really longing for someone, once you start getting to know yourself, you start recognizing your triggers. So when you feel that vulnerability coming on, and you know that you're listening to some love songs, okay, time to switch the station. Let me get some hip-hop or something. That
get your praise on. That's what you listen
of that longing. You know what I mean?
And you know what? Nothing wrong with love songs. Just start singing
them
to God.
Singing them to God. I enjoy them, but at the same token, if I'm in a vulnerable place,
absolutely,
it might not be the best time for me to listen to them. You
amen.
Know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, it's just little things like that. And before you know it, if you're busy in ministry like I am and with school and, work, and if you got kids, there are things to distract you. Like, you can start to refocus your mind and your attention, and then that thing will pass and you can keep it moving.
All right. Well, thank you, Shanti. We appreciate you sharing that. And you're right. Don't wait for someone and then stay home all depressed listening to love songs. Go out. Do what Shanti is saying. So thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing that and making that comment for us.
God bless y'all.
You too.
See you later.
Take care. All right. We have an anonymous caller on line one calling in. And we thank you so much for joining us. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay.
I'm in my early 30s, and I'm right now seeing a guy that's in his early 60s.
Okay.
And the advice that I need, I'm very patient, and I'm very wise, and I just need some advice because this guy is legally married.
He's legally married?
Yes.
So why are you dating a married man, even though if he might be separated, he's still married?
I know. This is my first experience.
Okay. Let me share something with you, and I appreciate you even calling us and being vulnerable about this. Even if he wanted to, let's just say he felt that God made it clear and you're the one, and he wants to marry you. He can't. He can't even offer you what you deserve in terms of marriage because he's still married. And so I really want to caution you that, you know, the Bible calls it adultery. I mean, technically, he's still married. And I'll give you an example. If for some reason he got lonely and his ex-wife or his wife, because not even his ex, right, his wife decides to come over his house, and she spends the night, that's still his wife. Like, he wouldn't be in sin being with her. But if he spends the night with you, or you decide to spend the night with him, it's sin because that is not your husband.
Yes.
And so if this is the man for you, I don't know if it is, but it would be under different circumstances. You know, God is not the type of God that tries to offer you something that you can't have.
Yes.
You know, it's like, look, that's like the forbidden fruit in a sense. Like, you can have any man, just not this one. He's married. So if you want our advice, it's going to be right what the Bible says. You know, it talks about, you know, do not commit adultery. You know, Galatians 5:19 even talks about sexual immorality. You know, flee from it.
Okay.
So if you wanted the answer, that's the answer.
Okay.
It's wrong. He's married. Leave him alone.
Okay.
All righty. We thank you so much for your call.
All right. Take care.
All right. Pretty good.
All right. So we have another caller.
Yes, this was actually, I had mentioned Crescenda, who was on Facebook, who's been on the show before. We asked her to call in, and she did, and she's on the line, six,
Crescenda.
I believe. Are you there? Crescenda.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, hey, there you are. Thank you so much for calling in. That was quick. I just mentioned that, I think. I put it on Facebook, and there you go. You gave us a call. I think we had just a few minutes. We're about to take a break, but tell us really quickly. I know you put on Facebook, it wasn't a book you wrote, but it was, I guess, a book that has helped you. It was something about the lies, you know, heading to the altar or something. I mean, please tell us. What is it?
Powerful, powerful book. Oprah had Dr. Smith, who is from Philly, actually.
Oh, cool.
Dr. Smith lives in Philly. Oprah had her on her show many times, and at one point after she published her book, they talked about the book. So when I was engaged, I started working through that book, and it just really helps people to think through all the different aspects that need to be considered before making a commitment to marriage.
So give us an example. I mean, here, you know, I'm actually on Amazon right now just checking. It says you can look inside the book. That's the cool thing. Sometimes you get to get a little bit of a taste for it. But what are some of the things that helped you? You said you were engaged when you were reading it?
Right.
And then you decided not to get married?
Well, I actually didn't decide. He decided.
Okay.
And I am so grateful that we're not married. So grateful. As another caller said, I feel that God really protected me in that situation because I wanted to get married, and he wanted to get married, and he just kind of fell apart physically. That was a blessing. But it just talks about the things that we even talk about in our marriage sessions in our church before we make a commitment, after we're already engaged. Communication, finances. One of the things, though, that is my passion is understanding how healthy somebody is emotionally.
Emotional health.
What their needs are emotionally, how healthy they are emotionally, if they can have a healthy relationship. So, of course, since she's a psychologist, that's one of the things that she does, give some attention to.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I love here, I'm just kind of looking through her chapters. We don't talk about it enough, and I will do a segment on this. It's chapter 4 where she talks about forsaking all others and how that is supposed to be and how we have so many couples that call in week after week saying, well, you know, that he's still talking to his ex-girlfriend or she's still hanging out with her girlfriends and they're doing things and talking about, you know, going places that I don't feel good about. You know, it's like not forsaking all others. That doesn't mean you can't have other friends, but if those relationships are getting and interfering with your relationship with your spouse, you need to get rid of it.
And we want to hold it right there because actually we have to take a break. So, Crescenda, if you don't mind holding on the line, we don't want you to go anywhere. And definitely everybody who was in the queue, just hold on for a second because we're going to resume our conversation about those lonely nights, being single and content during the holidays.
Absolutely.
Reach out to us and give us your take on this topic. 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows. We'll be right back after this.
marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And good morning. Welcome back. We're having a good time in the studio talking about kids and things our young people do. Love them. But before we get to that, we are talking about being single and content, especially during the holidays. And before we left you on the last break, we were on the phone with Crescenda. Hi, lady. Are you still there?
I am still here.
Oh, thank you so much for your patience.
Thanks for holding on.
Crescenda. So tell us again. So you were married before the break. We were talking about you were engaged to be married, and he broke it off. But at that time, you were really praying. You were asking God for clarity, and you were actually reading a book titled Lies at the Altar, The Truth About Great Marriages by Dr. Robin. And so what really stood out to you? You were saying that emotional health obviously is very important to you, but what went through your mind? And even now, what do you do to be able to stay single and content, realizing you made the right decision or God took care of that decision for you?
Yeah, I think what was helpful was not only having, people around me to support me and encourage me and help me think about things, but we also went to some professional counseling to talk about our relationship since we wanted to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That was really helpful. So I think that I answered your question. But for now, what helps me, I feel like God's really still protecting me because just recently I had some medical issues diagnosed and just felt horrible, beyond horrible.
Wow.
And when we feel that way, we want some comfort. So, you know, it's just been more of a temptation to want to, you know, to not be content with being single. But I just feel like God's provided in the sense that I have two friends who are studying the Bible.
Oh.
They want to learn more about God. And so, amen, that in my church we're trained to do that. And I just feel like God has provided the encouragement that I need through them to help me to stay focused, to help me to be about my purpose, about my mission.
That's great.
And all the time.
And Crescenda, you know, that's something that you can absolutely give yourself to. But something else you were saying is, and I want to, and I'm sure you know this, but I want to make it clear for all those listening as well, is that what you went through and how you felt horrible, if you would have ended up with someone that couldn't relate, you could even feel worse because you could feel like now you're supposed to have someone that loves you and supports you and they don't. That can be devastating.
Right.
And so you're right.
And when people aren't able to do that, that's even more devastating. And so I definitely feel protected by God that I am single. Definitely.
Okay, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Crescenda. We appreciate you calling in and sharing those good I guess, nuggets of wisdom with us, especially that book that I think many people might be able to benefit from.
Good deal. God bless. Merry Christmas.
All right.
You
God
too.
Bless
you,
you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to an unknown or an anonymous caller on line 5. Thank you so much, caller. You are live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Oh, we're doing very well. Thank you. Obviously, we're talking about being single and content. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, my comment of being single and content, me personally, growing up in an abusive home and family, you know, with no love there, and I had an abusive relationship with guys I have dated.
Okay.
And, I've gotten to a point in my life, to being put down and abusive mentally, physically, and things of that nature. And, you know, it hurt me. And this is something that's been carrying around to me since, you know, when I was younger.
Sure. And are you in a dating relationship right now that's abusive?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm by myself.
Okay.
I'm single. And, you know, I have no one else. Just me. Family, they just, like, you know, have gone. Everybody went their separate ways. I don't know where they at. And, you know, during the holidays, I have no one here but me. And what I do with my time, I just volunteer and feeding homeless people at missions. So I try to keep my mind occupied so I won't get in a depressed stage. You know, I don't want to go back to that goat pen. But now, I'm not even interested in being in a relationship. Even I have a tenant, you know, he's divorced and he wants to take me out, but I'm not interested. I don't have that desire to date because he personally said he never seen me with a man, and he thinks, you know, if you don't have a boyfriend or nothing, that you're kind of funny. They'll say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm living a life. I'm going to live the life on Christ.
Sure.
But I don't have to go out with no one just to, to go on a date because I don't have nobody in my life. I've been in church. I have brothers looking at me, but I'm not interested. I'm there for one thing, and it's to praise God.
So you're happy being alone, basically.
Yeah, well, I've been, Marcos, I've been basically, like I said, isolated all my life from a child up because no one was there for me. I wasn't the type of person to them. I was the black sheep in the family, didn't know nothing, have a learning disability, and nobody wants you. And, you know, everyone just like, I was like a put down.
Okay.
And this is how to carry this all my life, and it hurts me. And, you know, I'm just, right now, I don't have a desire to get involved in it.
Yeah. Are you there? Oh, wow. It looks like we lost her.
Her phone.
Wow.
Okay, well, maybe you'll be able to call back and finish what you were saying.
And you know, I wanted to just add something because, you know, it sounds like she's determined to be strong, but obviously, you know, no one wants to be alone. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. And perhaps that's why she has that heart to help and to even give back to homeless people. You know, that's what she's saying she's doing. But we really, our hearts do go out to you. Thank you so much for calling in. Sorry, I don't know what happened there with that connection, but thank you. Let's go to, we have a caller, actually. Maya had posted on Facebook. I know Maya, she lives down in Atlanta, Georgia, and she's here on the line. So good morning, Maya. Welcome
good
to
morning,
Marriage
Marco.
Beyond the Vows. Pretty good, good. So you had some interesting things to say on Facebook when I posted this comment, and you were saying how this is a tough time of the year, and you're learning to deal with this, I guess, and share a little bit about what's going on.
Well, I mean, first, I mean, I appreciate and I applaud the women who called in and said how great they are being content and being single, but I think, you know, we also have to be very real with ourselves and with others, and the important thing is we're all at different phases and stages in our walk with God and in our lives.
Sure.
So the 20-year-old may be more content than the 40-year-old or the 60-year-old. So,
sure.
But we can't ignore what the Bible says. So, you know, even if you go back to the beginning in Genesis 2 and 3, God says, you know, in Genesis chapter 3, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. Pain you will give birth to your children. Your desire will be for your husband. And so that's something that's in our DNA. I mean, that's that we're going to desire a husband. And so I don't want us to, like, deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, I'm wrong for desiring a husband. It's going to be there. But
sure.
What I was trying to emphasize is that being real about that and being open about it, but understanding, too, that it may not be God's will for, and it's not his will for all of us to get married. Some of us will die alone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad, but we will. But God is still going to be with us. And I wanted to also share a personal experience of mine, because I did leave God initially after I was baptized. I was baptized at like age 21, 22, and I had a one-year-old boy.
Okay.
And he's now 19.
Oh, wow.
So when I got baptized, he was a baby, and I stuck around for 5.5 years and did everything God's way and was doing all these great things, and I just felt like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. Everybody around me was getting married, and all my friends, and there were weddings all over the place. It was in, like, 1995 to 2000, 2001. So I had started to get discontent, and I left the church. I left God, and I went back to my old life for 7.5 years. And so during that time, I dated, in quotation marks, a lot, and I had a lot of really negative experiences, and I found out how lonely it was to be out there and to be, you know, sleeping with men who you have no connection with, and then, you know, waking up the next day thinking, wow, I feel really cheap. I feel really empty. I feel really worthless. Mm-hmm. And so I wound up in a relationship that was very unhealthy after a few years, and it was miserable. It was abusive. We moved in together against what I knew in my heart was right.
Okay.
And we were going to break up and go our separate ways because it was so miserable. The day we were going to move, we moved in, and like within a few days, we were like, this isn't going to work, and we're going to move out. And that day, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So 5 months after that, we struggled through. We were not getting along. We were fighting all the time, abusive. And 5 months, he took off. He's like, I'm out of here. And we spent a year apart. After the baby was born, we tried to reconcile, but nothing had changed. And we just ignored that. And we, you know, it's easy to think, oh, we're doing the right thing because we have a baby.
Yes.
And two incomes are better than one.
We sure, you just right. There are all the there are all these great and, there are all these great excuses we give, right?
So the misery continues. He's proposed now, and I said, I know what to do. I'll take him to church, and God, if we have God as our foundation, we will. You know, this union will be successful.
Sure, and God's gonna fix it all. Now I made a mess, and God's gonna fix it.
Right. And you hear all these stories, and you think, oh, this is gonna be perfect. I've picked out the perfect mate, God. So he comes to church, and he does get baptized and studies the Bible and gets baptized, and I'm in the process of getting restored. And I had spent 7-8 months planning this wedding. 2 weeks before the ceremony, mm-hmm. he calls it off.
Wow.
Mm.
And you know what? I wouldn't have had the strength to do it. That was God. God had, like, hardened his heart against me.
Wow.
And I knew it. I knew 2 weeks? I was going to marry him even though I knew it wasn't right.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, though?
2 weeks. I was going to marry him even though I knew it wasn't right, because I was just like, you know, we're a family, and I'm going to fight. Women have a tendency to fight for our families, even
sure.
sometimes when we need to let you know, that man go. So he stuck around the church for 1.5 years, and now he's gone, and it's been almost 5 years since this happened. So what I'm seeing is, just like Crescenda said, God, I have no regret. I am so grateful. I didn't marry this man. I mean, it was a miserable, abusive relationship. He still makes my life miserable, and he's married to somebody else.
Wow.
And has a new baby, and is still looking for ways to make my life miserable. So we're, you know, struggling with that. But and I have to live with that, you know, because I did live, and I did leave God. I have a beautiful child, but I did leave God and made some of my own decisions, which were very bad decisions. And so, you know, and here I am now. It's been 4.5 years since all this happened, and I'm right back struggling. That's what I was being open with recently, struggling with, okay, I want to go out and choose my own mate,
mm-hmm.
because it's not happening here. You know, it's not happening. God's not doing it. But I already know what's going to happen.
It's true. You know, earlier on in the show, Samantha called, and I know Samantha, and she shared how pretty much everything that she tries to do on her own, she messes up,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, a relationship is too huge. She's young. She's only 25. And she said, I really don't want to mess this up. And she's like, I'm single right now. I'm not even dating. I'm going back to grad school. But I believe that I don't want to try to help God out with this, because every time I try to do that, it goes wrong. And this is too important. And I love that. And that really, you know, stuck
right.
with me. I think that it helps me. It kind of did. It ministered to me with other areas of life, even though I'm married. A lot of times I feel like I want to help God out. Mm-hmm. And whenever God doesn't respond as quickly or mm-hmm. as efficiently as we think he should,
mm-hmm.
we feel like we need to help him out. And I think in essence, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying, God, I can do better. Like you, maybe you're too busy doing other things. So let me find the guy. And like you said before, let me bring him to you. And then you even start feeling good. Like, wow, I'm helping someone get right with God, and I'm ministering to them. And a lot of people fall for that trap, Maya. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm just ministering to them. I'm witnessing to them. And it's a lie. We're really disguising what we want to do in our heart of hearts. And so I really think it's great. And we appreciate your openness about that desire, that even though you know, that's sin, that's temptation.
Yeah.
We know the good that we ought to do. That's what it says in the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do it. It becomes sin. But that's our sinful nature, right? Isn't that what we got to fight all the time?
Right.
And so what helps you? Because I think you put something on Facebook about how you really need to pray and wrestle with God.
Oh, yeah. I wrestle with God all the time and constantly. And I, you know, I get discouraged, and sometimes I drift from God, and then I, you know, I get back on track. But, I mean, it's just it's a journey. This is my journey. I'm not going to leave God again because he saved me twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after I left him and deliberately sinned against him for 7.5 years in every way imaginable,
sure.
He still did not harden my heart so that I could not come back to him. And so I owe him my life. You
absolutely.
Know, whatever it was, I remember as a young Christian thinking, I didn't sign up to be a nun. And maybe, you know, this time I came back, I said, hey, you want me to be a nun? That's what I'll be. But I don't think that's his plan. I mean, my lead evangelist always, you know, says something that really encourages me, Mike Patterson. He says, you know, we don't, even when we feel like nothing is happening,
mm-hmm.
like God is doing so many things.
He is.
That's and he's so working behind the scenes, and you know, you're feeling discouraged, and you're feeling down, and like, I want to give up, and you don't know, like, all the great things, God, he's just, like, weaving it all together, and it's all going to come together if you just, you know, persevere.
Absolutely. Well, Maya, we want to thank you so much for sharing that, and it's an amazing testimony. It's real. I think you've
yeah.
shared your struggles, even your mistakes and your sin, but how you still struggle with it. And I think it's real. And I believe that that's going to help so many others. So thank you so much for calling in, Maya.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Right, be blessed.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're still talking about being single and content. The number is 855-454-5905. Marcos, we have an anonymous caller on line 4. All right. Caller, you are live on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in. We're talking about being single and content. What is your
yes,
comment
sir.
Or question for us?
God bless everyone. I just wanted to share a situation. Me being Christian, I was involved with a long-term friend who was Christian as well. I decided I wanted to get married, that we should get married, rather. She put a date on it, you know, and rather our getting married, We fell into sin, ended up having sex. She thought that was cool, you know, and I felt bad about it and realized that, you know, I was going in the wrong direction.
Wow.
And it was a tight situation, and, you know, seemed like there was no understanding, you know, when it did come to light that we did sin, and, you know, it was like a, you know, with the marriage part of it, so... You know what I mean? It was like thrown out the window. And it was sort of a bad situation, but a good learning experience. And I wanted to, a lot of the comments that have been made so far are beautiful. And the main thing I just wanted to add on to that was, as it says in the Bible, is that we're to wait patiently on God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let me just clarify this. So you were hoping to marry this woman. You
yeah.
both end up, you know, sleeping together, having sex. You knew it was wrong, and you had a conviction about it, but she didn't. And then that
right.
kind of made it clear for you that, you know what, I don't think this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. So you decided
right.
not to marry her, and you broke it off.
Right.
That's pretty intense, and I appreciate it, brother, because I think that the women don't always hear that. I think sometimes the world tells women the opposite. It's like, if you give him the sex, then maybe you'll get him, and then
wow.
he'll want you, and... In your heart of hearts, even though you made a stupid decision, you made a wrong decision by sleeping with her, the fact that she didn't have that reverence for God was a wake-up call for you. And I hope and
right.
pray that the women are listening to this, that they say, wait a minute, you know, they might want to compromise, but that was actually, you probably would have married her if she would have said no. Like, you would have tried to sleep with her, and she would have been like, no, we're trying to do this the right way. I will only sleep with you if you marry me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you would have said, wow, I love this woman. This is the type of woman I want to spend the rest of my life with. But because she didn't have that conviction, you realize, wait a minute, she is not the one for me.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Well, we thank you so much for sharing that. That's
mm-hmm.
an amazing testimony.
I appreciate it. God bless everyone.
Right,
thank you so much. God bless you. Let's go to line 2 and speak with Olivia. Olivia is on line 2. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question. I just recently separated from my husband
mm-hmm.
in September. This isn't our first separation. He's run away maybe 3 times within our marriage.
And when you say run away, does he run away with someone else or does he just leave the house?
He run away with it to his mother.
Wow.
And
say it ain't so. I mean, 3 times he runs back to mama. That's not good.
No, he'll run away for a week the first time. He ran away for a day, and this time he ran away in September to his mother. Mm-hmm. It seems like he has more loyalty to his mother, but he constantly told me, I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, we're into the holidays. Didn't see him for Thanksgiving. Our anniversary was December 2nd. I didn't see him. And Christmas is coming up, and I think this holiday seems to be the harder one for me. And I know you guys were talking about being content, but he's my best friend. He's my husband. I just don't quite understand how to be content in, you know, being married and separated and things like that.
Let me ask you a question here. And when he leaves, right, I'm sure it's because something didn't go right, maybe a disagreement, something didn't go his way. So he, I guess that's his escape, is going back to his mother's house. Maybe he finds comfort there. I don't know. But then he comes back. And are you okay with that? Do you just take him back, or do you say, wait a minute, you can't just come back. You can't keep doing this. Let's go get some help.
Well, when the first time he ran away, I found out, you know, throughout my marriage, my first year he was calling this so-called friend, but he told me it was just a friend. I found out recently this past April, this person, you know, that I always struggle with that because mm-hmm. it was our first year marriage and he was calling another woman. I called him twice doing it, but he kept telling me it's a friend. Sure. Something in my stomach said, oh no, this doesn't seem right because I don't know this friend. So years went by, you know, I wasn't, this is my friend, this is my friend. But I said, something feels funny. And then finally, sure. after 6 years of marriage, he tells me, she wasn't a friend, I used to sleep with her. So that kind of hurt me. And you
kind of, years. Of course.
I mean, you might have didn't call her anymore, but it's been 6 years of you.
One thing I'm not getting, and I need clarity from you, is, Olivia, it seems like he keeps doing a lot of these things, right? Running back home, running and having this affair. Why aren't you putting your foot down and saying, listen, we this relationship can't go on like this. We need to mm-hmm. get some radical intervention. Mm-hmm. We need something because I hope you realize that this is not going to stop.
Well, we went to counseling.
Okay.
So we're in counseling.
And then he ran away from the counselor. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we went to counseling, and we were in there for 4 months. And within really? The 4 months, he was lying to me the first 2 months about other things that we dealt with, you know, telling his family our personal business, lying on me when it was really him doing the things. He wanted to make himself seem the victim to his family. And then he had to, you know, the therapist said, you have to go to every person you lie to about your wife and tell them. And he thought that was a really big price. Well, I showed you, I had to go and tell everyone that I lied on you. But to me, I mean, he might have thought that was a big prize, but my first thought was, I'm your wife. You shouldn't have been doing that in the first place.
Okay.
And so I was really upset about that. So I'm still trying to heal. He said he can't stick. This last runaway was, I can't stick around for you to heal. I told you my sins. You need to get over it and not speak of it again. And sure. that's where we are, because I'm still getting over the 6 years of lying and then finding out these new things that you were doing behind my back that I didn't know you were doing. I thought our marriage was good, and obviously it wasn't, because you were telling people, you know, I was doing this, this, and this, when it wasn't true, because you were trying to get something from your mother. Mm-hmm. And I love my husband, and I believe I'm supposed to, you know, wait on God to help us in this, because we went to church, we, you know, talked to the priest, and we did all, well, I felt like I've done all I can, but I still hurt, and he just says he doesn't have time for me to heal. I need to get over it really quickly. Absolutely. He told me his sins.
Wow.
And he's saying I'm judging him, and I'm not trying to judge him. It's just, it takes time for people to heal.
Oh, and, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, Olivia, real quick here to interject, I think it does take time, but the beauty of separation, or the fact that he left, is that you guys can have some serious conversation and reconciliation before he comes back. And so what I encourage you to do, this is just my advice, you can take it or leave it, but as you said, he left again, he's at his mother's. When he comes back, instead of saying, okay, let's just come back and everything's fine, it's like, don't come back. Let's figure this out first. And until he's ready to really own up and make some commitments and some vows, look, everybody's going to have challenges and issues, but we don't all run away from them. If he treats his job that way and left, you think his boss is going to take him back every time? You know, if
if you know, if you do that, you know, in your life, career, whatever, if you, you start something and you run away from it, there are consequences. You just don't expect things to be there. Now, you are his wife and you do love him, but you can put your foot down and it's okay to say, wait a minute. Right now, we need to reconcile. The Bible even talks about separation, and it's good for a time. But right. When you do come back together, you want to make sure that you set things right. Like, look, you can't live with this. It's not sustainable. You don't want to be 10 years, 20 years down the road, and your husband's still doing the same thing.
Well, recently, he just gave me divorce papers as well.
Oh, wow. Wow, you didn't say that part. So there's a bigger issue there, though. You know, the honest truth that I think... he has an issue with commitment. He obviously does. And until he changes that and deals with that himself, there's nothing you or anybody else can do.
Right.
And so my encouragement is you pray for him. But if he gave you those divorce papers, I mean, maybe he needs to live up to that consequence. Because once he divorced you, what about if you decide to move on? And then he can't just come back anymore.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Olivia. We appreciate it. Definitely, you will be in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Olivia. Take care. Well, we have a special guest in studio.
Absolutely. The Elements of Inspiration with Brother Marcus.
Hello.
And he's here for all those in Charlotte. You might not know who Brother Marcus is, but he's a on-air personality here in Philadelphia, and he happens to be single. And I don't know if you're content or not. You seem happy.
Well, I'm in a relationship.
Yeah, yes, you are, yes. But you're still
but
not married, are you?
I'm not married, and
you're not living together, are you?
Here you go asking all these questions and stuff like that.
I don't know.
But you know, I think the interesting thing was when I was totally single. I would just keep myself busy. I know that sounds so corny, but I would just keep myself busy with things that I enjoyed. You know. And pray that, you know, Lord God, just keep me, you know, from all kinds of things that would try to surround me. So,
right.
Or that could overtake me. So.
All right. So tell me, I think you're in a, are you engaged or are you just dating right now?
Dating right now. I'm trying to get to the point where, you know, I can get married because I was married before.
Be careful because you might like, she could take it as like you're proposing on the air.
I know,
something.
Right?
You don't want that. She's like, hey, you said you want to get married. Yes.
You know what?
Oh, actually, she's calling right now.
Uh-oh.
And she's there on line six.
Hey, baby, how are you? I was just saying, I love you. No, but yeah, but Lord. that's what the direction definitely I want to go in. I want to get married. I want to do, you know, what is right because it is biblically right, not because it's right, but because it is biblically right. It's a big difference. And you know, I was married before, and you know, that's one of the things me and you talked about personally, you know, prior, you know, some time ago. And like you were telling this one young lady, hey, you know, you got to stand and put your foot down on the relationship, and mm-hmm. you know, you have a right to say how you feel. And And that's what the ex-wife did, put a foot down on certain things. And you know, and it was over after a while because she had to stand up for what she felt was right biblically, you know.
Absolutely.
And I had to learn. And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know about me. You know, I was married and divorced. And those are the things that, that you know, we have to come to terms with and we share. And, yeah, so now I'm in a place where, you know, my mind is being restored and renewed on a daily basis. And I'm trying to do what is right because it is biblically right.
Well, so. Great. Well, you know, here we are. We're about to wrap up the show. We have Tiffany. We have Brother Marcus. We have singles. And today, really, that was the topic. It was about being single and content. I know many marrieds. Usually it's the other way around, right? We have marrieds and then singles listen and they call in. Today we had singles listening, calling in, and some marrieds as well. But it became more of a focus for the singles. And we wanted to do that because we know that it does get lonely, especially during this time of year. And our prayer needs to be, you know what, God, maybe I need to connect with some of those others that are lonely and we can help one another. We can make a connection. And who knows, it might end up being romantic. But like I said earlier, make sure you have a great time. Try not to be alone. Get some friends. Go to church. Do events where you can really be grateful. For what you have, even the relationships. And like some of you already called in and said, you're grateful you're single right now because these are some great lessons that you're learning. Mm-hmm. So thank you both for mm-hmm. sharing. Thank you so much for everyone else that called in. Of course, we'll be back next week, mm-hmm. same time, 8 a.m. And during the week, follow us on Facebook.
Go to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
How can I say Marriage Beyond the Marriage Couch? Marriage Beyond the Couch. It's a different show.
Different. That's not the one. That's that one. All right, never know. Different Marriage show. Beyond the Vows. And I was going to say, go to ColeMarcos.com, which is my website, and just hit me up during the week. We'll love to be connected. Thank you so much.
All right. Much love going out to our producer, Ron, in Charlotte, and our guest producer, Aaron, here in Philadelphia. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.